We are back for another episode of everyone's favorite baseball podcast, the Take It Deep podcast, brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Jones for Sports. I say this every week. If you haven't found us on social media, at this point, that's your fault, not ours, because we stay on that. Come find us. Come join the team. We're always talking sports. We love to do it. Clearly, we're here. There's no reason.
Yep.
Now, in case you need more of a reason to join the ever-growing list of Patreon subscribers we have, I mean, obviously exclusive and early access to our content should be enough of a reason to get y'all on board. But if it's not, then I have two things that are going to come up on screen here that if you are interested, you can put a bid in for if you so desire. Only costs you a dollar. And for a dollar, you could either get this 2019, Memorial Day edition Yankee cap. It is fitted. It is a size 7.5. And I got all the stickers on it. It's all legit. And for what it's worth, this was purchased on sacred ground, which is 161st Street in the Bronx. So it's all legit. It's all bought from not the team, because that would have cost me like $80.
Yeah.
But from the people outside the stadium who are selling the same shit for a reasonable price. And if you're not a fitted guy or you want a more general option, in the theme of Memorial Day, we also have this here snapback. Again. All the stickers, they're all here. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is search Jones for Sports on Patreon. Any level entry will qualify you for this. And every level entry gets one shot. So if you pay us $25, you don't get 25 entries. You give us a dollar, you obviously get one. But we like the level playing field here.
Yeah.
And don't worry, Sean announced that my parents joined and helped out. They're not qualified. We're not doing any.
Only real fans.
Well, no, at least my father's a real fan, but he ain't wearing this. This isn't his style. But for the people who do listen to us and fuck with us, you know, have been there since, you know, day one, this is right up your alley. So they are here, they're in our possession, and they are ready to ship to those who are looking to up their game for summer. Yo, maybe you want to take the walk with the bodega. Maybe you have a military green face mask you want to pair that with.
The group of who don't have so much hair on their head, you want to keep the sun off your head, you know. Yeah.
Right. But we all know the reason we're here. It's not to talk about Patreon and the dope shit that we're giving away to y'all for literally however much you choose to pledge. We are here because baseball, it seems to be growing ever closer, yet ever farther from actually starting. And since we don't know exactly what the alignment of these divisions are going to be, if they're going to do like the Grapefruit Cactus League division, most baseball fans, we don't really give a fuck anymore. Just give us ball. That's all we want. Even fucking Governor Cuomo said, yeah, I would love it if the Mets and Yankees were playing right now. So would we. So would all sports fans.
Yeah.
But this week, we are here to talk about the American League Central. Mm-hmm. And interesting division. A lot of longstanding rivalries here. A lot of fluctuation where no team is supremely dominant like the Dodgers are in the NL West. You have It's top heavy, but the top never stays at the top for like a 10 to 20 year reign of dominance.
Only reason I say it's top heavy because the bottom two are just bad.
Currently as it stands.
At the top, it can go either way.
Right. Now, before we jump into this, again, if you have thoughts on this, go find us on MLB Home Run Hitters on Facebook. That's our group. Just find the General Jones and pages on Instagram. We're always talking over there. But let's dive into the AL Central. Starting off with, in my opinion, the worst team in baseball, the Detroit Tigers. Really not a meat, not much meat on this bone to talk about. They just fucking suck.
This is a team that is still hurt from Dave Dombrowski.
Mm-hmm.
And all his, you know, we all know his, him and his storied spending habits. He's still stuck under that Miguel Cabrera contract. Oh,
God, yeah. Now, granted, when Miguel got that deal, me and you were not, we didn't know each other. I guarantee you saw the length of that contract and the money, and you're like, yeah, this is not going to work out, like, toward the latter half. Same thing with like the Pujols deal or the Joey Votto contract.
It's more sense of I can see them deserving that, but the years is just what's going to kick you in the ass.
Yeah, it's now we're at a point where Detroit every year is getting hit up for pitching prospects because they're just perennial sellers at this point, and that's just kind of the rock they're stuck under right now. And again, what E said is 100% true. This is all on Dave Dombrowski. Acquisitions, as far as the Tigers are concerned, again, you're not going to get the splashy moves with an obvious rebuilder. We've been over this by now. Bottom feeders act similar. They did take Austin Romine away from the Yankees. I wasn't thrilled about that, but good veteran catcher. Can't really hurt the team. I mean, find it hilarious that Miguel Cabrera and the guy he punched 2 years ago are now teammates.
My thing with that one, I guess the only reason that makes sense is if you're gonna allow him to play, all right, you're gonna catch 100 games. You're gonna have more playing time than you did in New York.
Yeah,
because obviously there's no way he was starting over Gary.
No way. Speaking with the Tigers taking ex-Yankees. They also got Ivan Nova on a one-year deal. Ivan Nova is just kind of a guy who is going to jump to, like, the bottom feeder. He's not a guy who's going to win you a Cy Young. He's not going to contend. He might get you 12, 13 wins a year.
He's going to, around that with maybe a low four ERA.
Well, in Comerica, case in point, Verlander, Scherzer, when they were Tigers – they were great pitchers to begin with, but they were also pitching in a notoriously bad pitcher's park.
Yeah.
Very deep dimensions, a ginormous – to the point where if there was one team where you could make the argument, bring the fence in a little bit,
center field,
it would be the Tigers at this point. Just everywhere. Pull the pole. The other acquisition they had, CJ Cron, I don't really – I'm not going to go nuts on that. And then I'm surprised they ended up with Jonathan Scope.
That one to me was another weird one. Obviously, he had an all-star year. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah. No, Scope's a good player. It's just his time in Milwaukee. He was never at full stride in Milwaukee.
I think the playing time hurt him because he didn't really play that often in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
When he was an all-star playing in Baltimore, playing every day.
Mm-hmm. Obviously at-bats and playing time will dictate a lot of your performance. In terms of prospects, there's really only two or three that jump out. The first one is Mike Cameron's son, Daz Cameron. Good player. Probably going to be their opening day center fielder. Bring him up.
Yeah, you need a center fielder there who's going to be able to cover ground.
Yeah. The big prospect on their list is Casey Mize, and Matt Manning is behind him. Specifically, Casey Mize was a top five pick a couple years back. Kid's a stud. He's going to be the ace of that staff, I would say, by 2022. I don't see a way that doesn't happen. And Matt Manning, probably more of a number two to number four guy, probably a two to three. Yeah. Behind Mize, just on strictly talent and whatnot. But again, until they get called up and they start actually getting real meaningful innings, that's when you get excited. Mm-hmm. Players to watch on this team, for me, it's Mize and Cameron. Just I love it when the top prospects get the chance to play the full season. On the pro roster, who do you have, E?
I have Nico Goodrum.
Hey, the Swiss Army knife himself.
Yep, pretty, play anywhere on the field, switch hitter.
Yeah.
He showed some potential last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think he's a guy that whether he's fit for it or not, he'll probably be in the middle of that lineup anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, kind of by default, he'll bat probably out of ideal spot.
The young he's young, got potential. So to me, he's a player to watch.
Yeah. The other one I have here is Michael Fulmer, just coming off surgery. At one point, he was their best trade chip. Now Matt Boyd has kind of circumvented that.
I think Boyd kind of – his trade stock took a hit after not having a great year last year.
Well, the second half killed him.
Yeah, but start of the year, he was like the guy,
mm-hmm.
trade talk-wise. But that I think, you know, like you said, second half really hurt him. So that should take his trade value down a notch. But they're both young guys.
Yeah.
So they can easily get that value back up.
Yeah. I mean, and then wins and losses.
Yeah, when you're playing for Detroit, wins and losses shouldn't really have that big of an effect on you.
Yeah, just I'm saying from outlook perspective, this is probably another 100 lost year for this team. I would say at best, you're probably – your floor on losses is around 95 to 92. And honestly, just lose another 100.
You might as well get all the top draft picks you can.
Exactly right.
Build the way the Astros and Tampa has done in the past through the draft.
Even Minnesota.
Yeah, build that way, and that's it.
And not to mention another team in their division that we will get to later also sucked for a while, got a shitload of talent, and now they're about to reap all that benefit. Let's move on, because I'm not going to waste much more breath about the fucking Tigers. Fourth place team in this division, the Kansas City Royals. Fall from greatness, kind of small market team.
I was about to say they kind of took the typical small market World Series winning team. You win the World Series, and then you just slowly start the rebuild afterwards. I mean, obviously, they didn't do it, you know, the Marlins style and trade everybody off the following year.
Yep.
But
at least with the Royals, you got two pennants back-to-back.
And listen, and before we say anything, we can say their potential was kind of halted in the sudden death of Ventura. Like, that hurt him because, you know, ace of the rotation.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Acquisition-wise, you re-signed Alex Gordon. Again, good, really good fielder, but dog shit offensive now.
Yeah.
And for third base, this I actually like this signing. Mikael Franco, former Philly third baseman, couldn't cut it with the Phillies. He strikes me as a guy that could do pretty good, you know, things over there just from being away from a fan base like Philly, where they're going to just destroy him when he's on like an 0-for-15 streak.
Yeah. I mean, they do have like, I think the one guy every episode you bring up, Whit Merrifield.
Well, we're getting to that in the players to watch section, which Whit Merrifield's the best player in baseball that no one fucking talks about.
There you go.
He just is.
Yeah. Nah, the guy.
If he didn't play for the Royals, he would be on every All-Star draft.
In same division, you put him with the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Let him play second base with Lindor and Ramirez. Yeah. That's a nasty team.
Yeah, 100%. He's the one guy that I could see a team like the Dodgers trading Gavin Lux for at the deadline.
Yeah.
Because he's that valuable.
Yeah, he's a guy who could put a team over the top.
100%. Just
what he brings, because he can play more than just second base.
Yeah, and not to mention, he's going to get you 200 hits every year, or damn close.
And he's a threat on the base pass.
And he's always healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to steal you a shitload of bags. So is the other guy who's on my watch list here, which is Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, we all know his speed is outrageous.
The bat's coming.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what do we expect? The guy's major league debut was in the fucking World Series.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like pushed into the spotlight early.
Yeah, but again, at a certain point, speed is great, but we saw what happens when the bat doesn't materialize, a la Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, no, the speed doesn't mean none if you can't get on base.
Mm-hmm. And Billy Hamilton was a plus defender. Yeah. So if you got to be at least a three-tool guy.
I mean, they tried it last year with having Billy Hamilton and Mondesi. That would have been nasty. But right. Before you go to prospects, I'll give you my play to watch, and that's Soler.
Well, yeah, Soler.
He led the American League AL and home runs. I mean, let's see if he can keep that power surge up, or does he fall back down to the Soler that played with the Cubs?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Soler's a weird player. Can't field for shit, by the way. But good player, great hitter, perfect DH for them. And I'm going to throw one more name at you, which is Sal Perez, who is probably the best catcher that no one really remembers is still there.
Yeah.
And kudos to Sal Perez, because he could have taken a lot of money to leave that team after those World Series runs. Never left.
At that time, I feel like he positioned himself as the top catcher in the game.
Yeah.
And obviously injuries and shit caught up to him. So, like you said, kudos to him.
Yeah. Prospect-wise, the Royals just don't have a lot right now, which for them is pseudo-disastrous.
They're a team that, like I always bring it up, didn't trade guys away when they should have.
Yeah.
When you knew Hosmer wasn't coming back,
yep,
you had your chance to get rid of him, all these guys. And the reason why I say that is, like, with teams like this, when you don't really have a strong farm system, and you know you're not going to afford that guy free agency, get something for him. Mm-hmm. Build that farm system up.
Yeah. And at this point, for them to reload the farm system, they would have to trade
Whit Merrifield.
Probably Merrifield, and then maybe possibly even – they'd probably hang on to Mondesi, but maybe Soler would have to go too.
Yeah.
Speaking of prospects, they only really have two that matter. The first one would be, where did I put it? Brady Singer. Just a, you know, pitcher, nothing crazy. The prize of their farm system is Bobby Witt Jr., first round pick, shortstop, kid's electric.
Okay.
Which is curious because at a certain point within the next, if not this year, next year, Witt is going to come up. What do you do with Mondesi and or Merrifield?
My thing would be the smart move is to trade Merrifield.
Yeah, and just reload. Because
reload, you know, he's going to be due for a payday sooner or later.
Yeah.
Reload, and then you have, you know, him and Mondesi play up the middle.
Yep.
Yep. You have him battle out. Best glove gets short,
mm-hmm,
and then the other guy plays second.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. Really not much else to say on the Royals. I mean, it's the Royals. I mean, I trust their GM to rebuild the team and get it done properly, but until they do it,
you know, they're not gonna, it's not gonna be a quick rebuild.
No. Curious to hear your take on this. I have the Indians at third place, and I feel like that's unpopular.
Yeah, I don't have them at third.
You have them at second, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I figured it's the pitch. Yeah, that's
– the rotation to me is better.
I don't disagree.
Because even with losing Kluber, they have young guys who are ready to fill that rotation regardless.
Oh, no, Bieber, Carrasco, Pluko, they're, and Clevinger, they still have four horses. That's exactly. Not – that's never the issue with Cleveland. And they still have hand at closer. Like, they have – the pitching. My concern is Lindor is the heartbeat of that entire team, and it's similar to the Arenado situation.
Yeah, exactly. All the talks of him being moved.
Right, at a certain point, that's going to fuck with him.
Yep.
And if he's the kind of guy where if he's getting mentally messed with, that could negatively impact the entire team, especially if Jose Ramirez starts off the way he did last year.
Yeah, he was first half. He was not the same Jose Ramirez.
Yeah. Now, granted, Jose Ramirez was an absolute out of his mind in the second half.
Oh yeah, he found what he was missing.
Right.
I mean, yeah, for me, Lindor's the best shortstop in baseball.
Yeah. And then Carlos Santana had a resurgent year because he never.
I mean, Carlos Santana should just stay in Cleveland and not leave there ever.
Yeah, he never should have left in the first place. But
and to me, the problem with them though, the outfield.
Their outfield sucks.
The outfield, and they're always we need the bat. We need the bat. You made the move for Puig. Puig didn't really work out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the outfield that's what's where I can see you putting them third.
Yeah, and then I'm not crazy about the bridge to hand either.
Okay.
To me, in that division, aside from Comerica, which you don't need to hit home runs to beat the Tigers,
mm-hmm.
but Kaufman is a little deep, but home runs tend to fly out of there.
Yeah, especially warmer weather, summertime comes.
Yeah, the top three parks, I'm not saying that they're notorious hitter parks like a Camden or a Coors or a Yankee Stadium,
yeah.
But the ability to generate offense, to me, is what will propel or kill certain teams in this division.
Yeah.
Cleveland, their best outfielder right now is fucking Bradley Zimmer.
And he can't stay healthy.
And for what it's worth, the Kipnis experiment is null and void because he's not even there anymore.
No, I guess they're gonna run out the shields.
They're gonna have to.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. Speaking of Delino DeShields, him and Emmanuel Clase were the two pieces in return for Corey fucking Kluber.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to let that sink in for a second.
Good job there, Cleveland.
By the way, Clase is also on the 80-game suspension list for PEDs.
Oh, even better.
Yep. So, Delino DeShields is probably your best outfielder.
Yep.
But even then, that's not really an upgrade to what you've had.
Yeah, and to build off that, the other two pickups is Cesar Hernandez, second baseman, played with Philly last year.
Yep.
And Danny Santana, who
corner outfielder.
He's a guy who can hit you.
Yeah.
25 home runs, 30, but he's probably only going to hit 240.
Mm-hmm. In my head, Santana slots into right.
Oh, yeah.
Zimmer probably just with that crazy high wall in left field. Probably just has more experience playing it. I'd stick Zimmer in left.
And you put the faster.
Yeah, right.
The Shields is faster. You can put him in center.
I mean, anything to the gap between the Shields and Zimmer will get run down quickly.
Yeah, that's why it pays off to have the Shields. You can put him in center, and he can help carry Santana in right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Exactly. If you shrink Santana's zone – that he has to cover, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, to me, how I feel like the Yankees are. You see, like, when Judge is in right, Hicks could shade more towards left to help Stanton out.
Yep, that's correct.
You know, you want to have a rangy center fielder to help out the lower defensive player, wherever he slots in the corner.
Yeah. Players to watch for Cleveland.
Obviously, it's the two big horses, Ramirez and Lindor.
Yeah, they have, I think, in my opinion, the best catcher in baseball that doesn't get nearly enough credit.
Roberto Perez.
Perez is a stud.
He is.
Coming off a Gold Glove.
Mm-hmm.
Well-deserved Gold Glove.
I feel like Cleveland always has a sneaky good catcher, though.
Well, this goes back to fucking Sandy Alomar.
Yeah, they always come up. Their catcher, to me, like, when they first come up, you're like, oh, he's a typical backup. I don't know what you're Next thing you know, he's a great hitter. And then all this, I mean, next thing you know, they always have great defensive catchers. And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
the guy ends up fucking hitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Let go. Yan Gomes, you get out of here. We got this guy now.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm more, Perez is just a guy, like a joy to watch kind of guy.
Yeah.
Cleveland's not going to get a lot of primetime Sunday night baseball games. I get that. But Ramirez and Lindor are the motor, and Santana, Carlos Santana, not Danny. If the three of them can't power this offense, I don't see them making a playoff run. I see them as a slightly above 500 team. Now, the pitching could carry them.
Yeah, but that's
offense.
That was my only thing of putting them second is the pitching.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
I have more concern with this team than confidence. What I'm confident in with Cleveland, I love. The pitching is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That offense, if those three aren't carrying that offense, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, because all you're going to do is lose 1-0 games.
Yeah, and you're right. You're going to leave a lot of run. I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland is in the top third of runners left on base.
Okay.
Let's leave it like that. Because Zimmer can get sneaky, cheap infield hits, so can DeShield. They'll steal a lot of bags. Even Ramirez can do it. But cashing, you can only steal home so many times. And even then, if you try it, it's ballsy.
Yeah.
Since you can't steal home, quote unquote, every time, you got to cash him in somehow. And aside from maybe 30 max home runs from Santana, another 30 from the other Santana, maybe, Lindor could hit you 40 and so could Ramirez, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows if either of them will be there?
Yeah, right. It's too much of a – everything with them is just, aside from pitching, is just too much of a question mark for me to just give them this, the quote-unquote stamp of approval as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that window closed, though. Yeah, that window will definitely close. Prospects, what do you have?
Prospect-wise, I have – the only one really here is Nolan Jones, and he'll probably start the year as their third baseman.
Okay.
And realistically, I mean, because you lost Cesar Hernandez, I get it.
Yeah, but he's also a guy who could be brought in there just to be the utility infield guy.
Right. At this point, bring up the kid.
Or I could see him being there just in case there is a move of a Lindor.
Yeah, because Hernandez could probably shift over.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. Just like a lot of things with Cleveland, there's question marks. But Jones is a good player. I mean, I just call these kids up, especially on a shortened season. Let them fucking play.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Moving to the team that I am by far the highest on in the entire American League.
Yes, you are.
Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
I am so hype on this team. To the point where back in, I think, January, maybe December. No, had to have been January, maybe early pre-COVID February. I wrote a blog about how sneaky good not just the free agent signings were, but this team as a whole.
Yeah.
I look at this team as exactly how to rebuild. Trading assets when they just need to go.
Yeah,
for sale.
That's something I'm big on.
Yeah.
For me, when you're that team and you have a guy who's ready to go, do it and get what you can for him. And they may that trade is starting to look better for them now, especially after seeing. Obviously, it worked out for Boston. They won a World Series and everything. But now, as you see, sales breaking down a little.
Yeah. Well. Tommy John.
Yeah, but even last year, the injuries caught up to him.
Yeah, well, he's, for what it's worth, Sale's a bit of a dick where everyone's trying to fix his mechanics and he won't do it.
Yeah. But nah, this trade definitely, the trade for me definitely worked out for them.
Yeah. So I'll put this very blunt. The only thing I hate with the White Sox is their physical stadium. The uniforms are great. The red and white logo that I got behind me, and that jersey is fire.
There's also works at sales not there to cut up the jerseys.
That's also true. Acquisition-wise, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, they made some moves.
Yasmani Grandal is a humongous addition to that team.
He was really good for the Brewers last year.
Mm-hmm. And he's starting to figure out his defense again.
Yeah.
He's also the best statistical pitch framer. Him and Jeff Mathis are the two highest, I believe, in all of baseball.
Okay.
So that's all. Even though he can't really block too great, he's getting better. But his pitch framing has been a plus-plus for him for years.
Oh, we know something a little about not blocking.
Well, right. Number two, let's see. I have Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
We know Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
Pitched surprisingly well for the Braves last year. I don't hate that move at all because it went in a rotation full of young horses.
Not a guy that – we didn't bring him in expecting him to go right to the top of the rotation.
Right. That's exactly right. You also brought in Gio Gonzalez for veteran presence and to maybe be a long relief fifth starter guy. No problem there either. Steve Cishek in the bullpen, I like that too.
Yeah.
Why not? You need a bridge to Colome. The other two here, I love Eddie Encarnacion at DH here. Love that. He's a one and done there though. They're not going to bring him back because Andrew Vaughn's coming. And Nomar Mazara to play right field is phenomenal.
Yeah. The Encarnacion move, listen. If the Yankees weren't the team that didn't like to tie up the DH and really didn't need that DH to be open, I was all for them bringing him back. But obviously, you don't need him when you have so many guys who could fill that DH role.
And for what it's worth, Encarnacion can't really field anymore. Not to say that Voit and Mike Ford are these gold glovers, but that's kind of handcuffing the DH spot plus Stanton.
Yeah, Stanton, and now you got the return of Andujar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know how they like to give Judge his DH days and Sanchez and all of them. But yeah, I like the Encarnacion because he could play DH because he still got Abreu there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like he wants to leave Chicago, Abreu.
And then let's also not forget, they have Abreu. They also have Yonder Alonso.
Yeah.
So, like, they're legitimately loaded at first base. They don't need Eddie to play anything but DH.
And the thing with them, too, is they don't need really the DH open because they're full of nothing but young guys.
Right.
Tim Anderson.
Stud.
Won the batting title last year. Like, that's all you need to say about that guy.
Mm-hmm. Juan Moncada.
Moncada's coming
through. Moncada is about to blast off.
Yeah. I feel like Moncada would be similar to Glaber.
Yeah. I would make the argument that you specifically should be as excited about Moncada as you are about Tatis, even though Moncada is less flashy.
That's the only thing. That's why to me he's more of a Glaber.
Yeah, he's a shut up and play guy, but he's a fucking animal.
Glaber's not really flashy. Don't get me wrong. You'll get the home runs and everything. But
mm-hmm.
Glaber, they're a similar type. Just play. You're gonna get what you get out of it.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Like Mazara in right field.
Yeah, Mazara is a good player. He's just not a high average guy.
But he's another guy who's going to hit you 25 to 30.
Mm-hmm. Solid enough defense.
He has a cannon in right field.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Eloy Jimenez could drop 40.
He could drop 40. The center fielder can grab him. He can go
get Luis Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's definitely starting day one.
Yeah, he can go grab him.
Yeah, well, that's a top 10 prospect. Sitting in the system for years.
Yeah, now this team is full of number young players.
And even the pitching. Giolito had a phenomenal year.
What?
If Carlos Rodon could stay healthy, he's a legit two.
Yeah.
There's really not to hate about. What can you hate about this team? And I love that they didn't overspend for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I mean, I give it to them trying to get him, either him or Machado.
Yeah.
You know, they, obviously they were just trying to make the play for the flashy name.
Yeah.
So it didn't work out, and I love the fact that they just build with what they have. You have guys that you can build superstars out of in Moncada and Tim Anderson.
Oh, and by the way, Nick Madrigal is going to be an absolute stud at second base too. Okay. The whole team is just young and awesome. This is insane. Oh, and by the way, if Kopech can stay healthy, he'll come up. There's another relief possible starter who can throw 104
easily.
Yeah, I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. This team. Now, granted, I will say this: if the White Sox are at worst the third place finisher, it's not close. Them in Cleveland, you could argue till you're blue in the face.
They have the.
Yeah.
They have more of the complete offense.
Yeah.
That Cleveland misses out on. It's just, yeah, Cleveland just has the better starting rotation.
Correct. Yeah. I will say on record, second and third place in this division in my head, solely interdivision record. Yeah. And I'm not talking between the Cleveland and Chicago. I'm talking who destroys the Royals and Tigers.
Yeah.
And who has a winning record against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That to me, that's everything.
Yeah.
Prospect wise for the White Sox, I mean, Roberts coming up, Madrigal's coming up, Kopech's coming up. I left guys like Andrew Vaughn off because, frankly, he's not gonna probably not make the opening day roster. So we can let him kind of simmer. But Vaughn's gonna be an animal too. He's a first baseman.
Okay.
And now to our division winner. And by simple math, you should know that this was coming.
Minnesota Twins.
Yep. You made two moves. You brought in Kenta Maeda. All it cost you was bruised Gratterall. Worth it. And you also signed Josh Donaldson, which is terrifying.
Yeah, to put him with fucking Nelson Cruz, Eddie Rosario.
Sano,
like. It's a whole lot of.
Oh, and by the way, Garver can drop 25.
Target Field's going to see a lot of home runs if they play there. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're playing in regular stadiums, there's going to be a lot of bombs hit in that stadium.
Yep. Yeah, this team's just really fucking good. The problem with Minnesota is that they're at best the third rotation in this division.
Yeah.
And we saw what happens to their pitching after Berríos.
Yeah. That's the thing with them to me. Like, you never, like, that's why I will not put them on the tier in the American League of the Yankees and Astros.
Yeah.
To me, they fall almost similar in evenly with Oakland.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just because the pitching, they could never put a rotation out there.
Yeah, but Oakland's got better rotation right now than Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota just got the power.
Minnesota has, you could argue, the best offense in the American League. But you can't win every game 10-8.
I mean, look at the game last year between them and the Yankees. Back and forth, back and forth. You lose, what, 14-13?
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, and then the only problem is with a lot of those power guys, you're going to lose Cruz for a couple games. It's just because he's older. He'll break down.
Yeah.
Donaldson's another guy who's always hurt. Sano's always hurt.
Now, well, real quick, Donaldson, we saw what happens when you take Donaldson off turf, i.e. with the Braves. His knees just can't handle AstroTurf. Put him on natural grass, he's fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this team is loaded offensively.
And I think they have one of the best outfields in baseball.
They do. Easily. Now, granted, if Byron Buxton ever stays fucking healthy, that'd be great.
He'd easily be probably the best center fielder in baseball.
He could be.
Yeah.
It'll take him a couple years of actually being healthy.
Yeah, of course. But that's what we said, if he's healthy.
Right. But – then not to mention you have guys like Alex Kirilloff and Royce Lewis, who at a certain point I wonder how long they're going to stick with Jorge Polanco at short.
Yeah.
Polanco can hit the defense so far.
Yeah.
Unless you're Xander Bogaerts and you can hit 330, your offense is not really worth keeping in spite of your liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Especially being a smaller shortstop.
Right. I mean, they have these two horses. The pitching is what it is. They're not winning a pennant because of that pitching.
Yeah.
But they could fuck around and win probably 96 games. And I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
Player to watch for this team, who is it?
I'm gonna go with my boy Eddie Rosario.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, he's a guy who started putting it together a lot more. Before last year, he was like a 240 hitter, 250.
Yeah.
He's now more of a power guy, swing for the fences type of guy.
Yep.
He's the guy who I think really benefited from the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, 100%.
Being like one of Team Puerto Rico's top guys, like, really gave him the confidence in.
Yeah.
Like, just put him to another level.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree at all. Rosario's a good player. I have two guys on my list. I want to see how Maeda adjusts to
American League,
switching leagues. But yeah, then you're also dealing with, you know, the Yankees. You're dealing with Houston. You're dealing with the Indians, the White Sox.
And let's face it, too, not being on the West Coast.
Right.
You know, now, and how would he take playing in fucking October in Minnesota?
Yeah. Also true.
You know, so that remember, you said last week when we was talking about Seattle, a lot of these Japanese guys like to stay on the West Coast.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely true. And then Luis Arraez was probably the best player the Twins had in the playoffs last year. He was the only one that was, like, actually producing.
Yeah.
He looks like their anchor second baseman for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see what he does moving forward with, I think, the job we can just assume is fully his at this point.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, but, yeah. Again, I would say – I can say with enough comfort, Minnesota should win this game with this division by, I'll say, a solid 5 games.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe about a 6-7 games.
Yeah,
I could see them being like a 90-93 win team.
Yeah, that seems about right. I would put the White Sox at about 86 tops wins. Yeah. I could see Cleveland at 86-82, maybe 80. Slightly under 500.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota just has enough offense where even Cleveland would be worried.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You can pitch to young rookies. Like Eloy Jimenez was striking out all over the place last year.
Yeah.
You can pitch around guys like that.
I mean, obviously, look at – like we could talk about the playoffs. Look at them. Obviously, we know they're dreadful in the playoffs against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, you see guys like Nelson Cruz who, honestly, knowing the Yankees were still going to win that series, anytime Nelson Cruz is up, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Just because you know he's a power guy, but he can get to any pitch he wants to get to.
Yeah. No, he is that good. He always has been.
Yeah. You know, he's what, to be honest, the Twins should hope Sano should be.
Yeah, a little bit of consistency from Cano would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing with that guy. You got to make up your mind. There's times the guy looks phenomenal, and then he's being sent back down to the minors.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. He's still a good player. It's not like
he's still a fucking scary presence at that plate.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and it only makes them better that you have somebody to get him the fuck out of third base.
Also true. Yeah, Sano for them, I mean, Nelson Cruz kind of handcuffs DH. But if Cruz needs a day off, you can put Sano there, and at least you keep him back.
Yeah, and then do you see some of Sano at first?
I think his
because my thing is I'd rather Sano at first than Cruz and Wright.
100% yes. I think that's probably how they're going to approach it.
Yeah.
But you don't expect it. You know, you can't just assume. We do it all the time. But now that Donaldson's in third, I think you could – it's pretty much guaranteed that Sano's probably your first baseman now.
Yeah.
And also, his body type is just – he has a first baseman's build on him. He's not the skinny – lean shortstop he was, you know, when they were filming the Pelotero documentary.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, I mean, kudos to him. If he plays well over there, great. You got anything else in this division, or are we wrapping this bitch up?
Nah, that's it.
Yeah. Next week, people, this is the big one.
Yes, it is.
This is the one where you could probably assume where we're leaning on certain things, but this is the episode you want to watch.
Or this listen. The one. This is the one I want to see if people gonna see if we're all about our fandom and not being real.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's wrap this one up again. Find us on social media. We're all over that. We're always talking sports over there. If you want any of these hats, the fitted or snapback, all you got to do is go to Patreon, search Jones for Sports. Any submission gets you entered into the giveaway. And yeah,
that's it.
You know the drill. We say it every week. Have a good rest of your week. Stay safe. Don't get fucking COVID. And until next time, take it deep. Peace.